is Whiting against Marathon County. Mr. Edwards.
Good morning, and may it please the court. The issue before the court is whether Marathon County jail officials failed to protect Ms. Bobby Jo Whiting from an obvious risk of harm. This case arises out of a somewhat remarkable set of facts that are set forth in the brief, which indicate that Mr. Donald Smith was being held in custody and actually charged with conspiring to murder our client, Ms. Bobby Jo Whiting. At the time of his preliminary hearing, the judge issued a no-contact order, which was placed in, given directly to the jail, indicating that Mr. Smith was not to have any contact with Ms. Whiting, given the fact that he had already conspired to kill her, or at least had been accused of that. On March 23rd, 2002...
Your position that any of the defendants in this case actually knew that Mr. Voss was attempting to put the two of them together, put Whiting and Smith together?
No, Your Honor. No, that is not our position.
Well, if they didn't actually know it, then how, given Farmer against Brennan, is there any claim? Because Farmer says there has to be actual knowledge.
Our position is that the danger here was obvious. And that if you look at...
It's a should-have-known theory, and Farmer against Brennan explicitly rejects should-have-known theories.
In this case, Your Honor, our position is that the danger was obvious from the moment that the no-contact order was issued.
No, it's not obvious to these defendants. The no-contact order never came into their possession, but more important, you agree, they had no knowledge that Voss was about to behave in an exceptionally irresponsible manner. Indeed, so far as I can see, at least on your allegations, Voss has behaved in a way that was contempt of court, and I'm puzzled that Voss isn't the principal defendant, or maybe you're pursuing him before the court that issued this order.
No, Voss at the time did not know that Ms. Whiting had identified Donald Smith is her known enemy in two interviews before she was...
Your brief says that Voss had actual knowledge of the no-contact order.
No, sir.
Yes, it does.
It does in fact say that. Now, that may not be true, but that's what it says.
If it says that, that's certainly an error. Our position is that Voss is not a proper defendant here because he did not know that she had identified Whiting Smith as an enemy, and that our position... has to be examined from a different perspective, Your Honor. Our position is that the reason why Voss did not know of this risk is a result of the deliberate indifference by these jail officials in terms of the policies and procedures that they had put in place. If you examine the record, there are two things that are obvious. Number one, that the no-contact order applied to Donald Smith while he was in the jail. That no-contact order was put in the jail file for a reason. Even the jail administrator, the supervisor on the shift that day, indicates in his affidavit that he did not even know of the no-contact order. Even the supervisor who was in charge of Ms. Whiting and her care did not know. The next day, there was an interview, actually two interviews within the course of 2 days, where Ms. Whiting specifically indicated that Donald Smith was a known enemy of hers, and in fact that he had conspired to murder her. There's no procedure in place in this jail to make that information known.
Look, counsel, my initial question was, how is your position compatible with Brennan, which says there must be actual knowledge? Should have known theories, or they should have used the following procedures to make more information known, do not satisfy the Brennan requirement. What is your theory that does satisfy the Supreme Court's requirement in Farmer against Brennan?
Your Honor, the Farmer case indicates that knowledge can be inferred when the risk is obvious. The risk of the danger to Ms. Whiting presented by Donald Smith in this case was obvious. That is evidenced by the fact that a no-contact order was issued by the judge.
Let me try once more. Jones checks into a jail and says, Green will kill me if he sees me. An hour later, Green kills Jones. Do you get to sue the sheriff, who was in Omaha at the time attending a convention, on the ground that the sheriff should have found this out and prevented it?
No.
Your defendants here are the sheriff, the sheriff's department, and so on. They're not the people on the ground who actually knew this. And indeed, you expressly abandoned your claim against the guard.
Your Honor, the situation before the court is much...
You've sued the sheriff's department, the sheriff, and the deputy sheriff. You've not sued the guards. You've not sued the people who actually had knowledge of this.
Your Honor, our position is much different, and this situation is much different than the hypothetical that was just posed. The information was brought to the attention of the jail officials by virtue of the no-contact order, and then...
There is no theory in law that if you alert A, then you can sue B if A screws up.
Your Honor, in this situation, I would respectfully disagree. The Farmer case makes it clear that where the risk is obvious, that knowledge can be inferred. These jail officials had
the question not only of inferring knowledge, but of imputing knowledge.
We're trying to do the former and not the latter. In this situation, we are relying on the Farmer case for the proposition that knowledge can be inferred. Knowledge can be inferred where the risk is obvious. What could be more obvious than a circumstance where an inmate in jail has been held there for conspiring to murder another inmate? What could be more obvious than a no-contact order being issued to prevent the very thing that happened here and sent and put into the jail file? What could be more obvious than a risk presented by an inmate who tells two separate jail intake personnel that she has a known enemy who had already
None
threatened to murder?
None of whom is a defendant.
Excuse me?
None of whom is a defendant.
This knowledge is inferred on the part of the officials who we have named in this...
The word is imputed.
We are not trying to impute knowledge, Your Honor. We are suggesting that the Farmer case makes it quite clear that knowledge can be inferred by all of these defendants by virtue of the obvious risk that this man presented.
On that view, you could sue the President of the United States on the ground that he, too, should have been able to put this together and stop the problem.
No, we're certainly not trying to do that. I will reserve the rest of my time.
No, but is there anything in your theory that would prevent you from suing the governor of Wisconsin, the president of the United States, the secretary general of the United Nations?
The sheriff's department is responsible for the care of their inmates. This is a case that is going to bear directly on the care of inmates throughout the Seventh Circuit. If this court is going to agree with the position adopted by the appellees, then jail officials will be able to say, we did not know of a risk, and in fact, we have no obligation to find out, even when that risk is obvious, and we're not responsible for anything that happens to an inmate, even when there's a severe risk presented by somebody who has already threatened to kill that inmate. I'll reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Ms. Belke.
Good morning. May it please the court. As an initial proposition, I'd like to point out some relevant facts to give the court some context, although a lot of this information...
Before you do that, is it your understanding Mr. Voss knew about the no-contact order?
I have an affidavit from Mr. Voss, and he does not state that. However, I will tell you that he did represent Mr. Smith in his attempted homicide trial and was present in the courtroom when the no-contact order was issued.
So Voss had to have known.
I can't imagine how he didn't. And
he was there when the order was entered.
Right.
Representing
Mr. Smith.
That's a much firmer basis of knowledge than the process of inference he argued in this case.
Right. Okay. But and then beginning at that hearing in August of 2001, the no-contact order was in fact issued to Mr. Smith, that he should have no contact with, among others, Ms. Whiting. Ms. Whiting was brought into the Marathon County Jail on a probation hold approximately...
I think when we were looking at the briefs, it's your brief on page 5 that you indicate Voss knew.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Whiting was brought into the jail approximately 7 months later. And she did, in fact, indicate to jail personnel that Donald Smith was a potential enemy of hers. She did, however, decline protective custody after being told that in no circumstances would male inmates be either exposed to or housed with female inmates. That was the policy of the jail. Now, but for the actions of Mr. Voss and Mr. Smith, this entire incident would not have occurred. Now, nothing like this has ever happened in Marathon County. I have been unable to locate any case law that would, where something similar occurred. So the jail cannot be imputed or be assumed to have any kind of information that would assume a policy, practice, or custom of allowing this kind of thing to happen. I believe the court is correct in that the Farmer case clearly indicates that some kind of direct knowledge is required to impute liability to jail officials who are not directly participating.
Well, how is it that Voss can request to see an inmate and they just go and pick her up and take her into this situation where he's got three other guys in there?
Well, and that's something that has now been remedied, but in point of fact, the jail guards are quite trepidatious of denying someone access to their lawyer. And
well,
they
wasn't her lawyer.
Well, and they did not know that. In fact, Ms. Whiting did not protest when presented with Attorney Voss. She did not protest when the guard asked her down outside the room. She did not protest to Attorney Voss. The jail guard
Mr. Voss still practicing?
He is. The jail guard came back.
It is a liberal group you're surrounded by. Was any action taken against them officially?
Against Attorney Voss?
Yeah, any complaint filed about his manipulation of the system?
I'm not sure if the Board of Ethics got involved. I know that it was highly publicized what occurred. I've spoken with him, and I did not get into that with him. He's obviously very...
But as an outside observer, it seems to me somebody should have done something about his behavior.
I agree.
The phrase that comes to mind is contempt of court.
Right. Well, and in fact, another issue that we have before us is the fact that the order itself was actually issued to Mr. Smith. Now, certainly, in a best-case scenario...
But he was aware of it. Boss was there.
Yeah, he was there. He was aware of it.
At least in federal court, under Rule 65D, the order applies to agents and related people, and a lawyer is the represented party's agent.
Under that standard,
so if this were a federal order, it would unquestionably bind Boss in persona, and this would unquestionably be criminal contempt of court.
I agree.
Whether Wisconsin follows the same rules, I don't know.
I'm not sure either. Again, Ms. Whiting could have prevented some of the harm from which she now complains had she protested. But in any case, right now what we have before us is potential liability of officers of the Marathon County Jail. The sheriff, Deputy Papascala, Deputy Reed, and those are the three deputies. The other deputy has been, as the court noted, expressly dismissed from liability in terms of this appeal. Now, I would argue that the jail took as many precautions as reasonably were necessary to separate male and female inmates. I don't see how, in any view of the facts, the court could find that the jail staff could foresee an officer of the court in complicity with a criminal defendant perpetrating a fraud on these guards, indicating that Ms. Whiting's lawyer wanted her to come down and speak to them, and an hour conversation between the two ensuing with no protest whatsoever from Ms. Whiting. It strains credulity. And, I mean, again, it's a very, very unusual situation.
How large is this jail?
At the time, there was 265 prisoners. And I guess I'd also like to point out that when Ms. Whiting was brought into the jail and when she indicated to the jail staff that she had a, quote, enemy, unquote, in the jail, she did not indicate specifically that there was a no-contact order, that the jail staff could have then gone and retrieved and perhaps done something else. Now, again, we run into the problem of could
What's the county seat of Marathon County?
Wausau.
Wausau.
Right. And that's where the jail is. Had the jail staff known that there was actually a no-contact order in place, perhaps something different might have occurred, and she could have told them that she did not. Obviously, having an enemy could possibly run the gamut of having someone you've had an argument with to having a very serious potential physical threat. And the policies in place allowed that males and females would be kept separately, and I believe that was the reasonable policy, given the facts. And another issue I'd just like to address is the fact that I think in some sense this case comes down on all fours with the Babcock versus White decision and the Doe versus Wellborn decision of this court, holding that in this, well, applying it to this case, Ms. Whiting is actually complaining of being put in risk of harm as opposed to actually receiving harm. And in both of those cases, the court held that that is below a threshold requirement for compensation under the Eighth Amendment.
Mr. Smith is now serving, what, how long? 20 years?
20 years at least, Your Honor.
What does that mean in Wisconsin, actually?
I'm not a criminal attorney, so I wouldn't venture to guess, but he has a number of concurrent sentences and then also extensive supervision if and when he is released. So. If the court has no further questions, then I will sit down. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, counsel. Anything further, Mr. Edwards?
Yes.
Vice Chair.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just to note one important fact that I failed to mention. Ms. Whiting was taken out of the jail by the district attorney after she learned of this because she feared for Ms. Whiting's safety.
I have a modest question. Were you aware of the fact that that the attorney represented the original defendant in this case?
Boss?
Yeah, Boss was the attorney for Smith. Were you aware of that?
Yes.
Were you aware of the fact that he was in court with his client when the order, no contact order, was entered?
I personally wasn't, and actually
did you investigate how Boss came to?
Yes, that's.
Did you ask Boss why he came to ask the lady to come down to see him, and you said her attorney wants to see him?
We're getting to that, and we will be addressing that with Mr. Boss.
Well, why don't you address it with me? Why didn't you do it before you got here?
Well, Your Honor,
you told me Boss didn't know.
And I want to clarify that, and I want to apologize. I thought that the court was referring to Faust, who was the deputy who was escorting.
No, Voss, I said very clearly.
And I made a mistake. My mistake was, and I went back and I examined the record, and I'm wrong about that. Voss did know.
Yes,
and I want to make that very clear, and I misspoke, and I apologize about that. I want to address one other point that's been made.
So why isn't Voss a defendant, since he is the prime mover here? You sued the people who were ignorant, but not the person who engaged in contempt of court and put Whiting at risk.
Your Honor, that was a strategic decision that was made at the inception of the lawsuit. The theory that we have advanced and continue to advance is that the jail is as responsible as Voss is for what happened here. I think that it's important to keep in mind that the appellee's argument regarding Ms. Whiting somehow being responsible for this turns the Eighth Amendment absolutely upside down. This is the jail's responsibility. This is their obligation. And to suggest that they're somehow not responsible for following or complying with an order that's issued by a court and delivered directly to them strains credibility. The point is this, is that there is a policy of deliberate indifference in this jail. They knew what was going on, and they failed to take any action to protect this young lady. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.